You're listening to a Mornings with Kelly and Steve podcast. Be sure to check us out every weekday morning from 6 to 9 on Moody Radio.
Nancy, this question, given everything that's going on in the world, and when we stop and consider evil and the depravity of man and the consequences of the things we do, this question could not be more on time today.
That's right. The question is, will I have to stand before Jesus at the judgment seat in heaven? What do you think, Nancy?
Yes. Well, you know, it's amazing the timing. Last week we were talking about the rapture and then Israel, and, you know, you have all these people now screaming that, you know, the world is coming to an end and the rapture's coming and Jesus will meet us in the air and all this. But, you know, it's very, very interesting how the signs of the times, you know, we are aware of them, but we should not be freaking out at this point, you know. God's got it in control, and he knows the time, the place, and he knows all that there is to know about life and death and in the future. So we can rest our minds a little bit on that God has got it. But I think it seems that word judgment in one hand is so serious and so permanent and so terrifying to so many. On the other hand, when we're talking about judgment seats, it's a time to be looked forward to for the Christian. So we need to I think we need to sort that out this morning and realize before we even get into this idea of standing before the judgment seat in heaven, what God has commanded us to do is to love him and to love others. And we need to understand that God is on our side. He's rooting us on to that line where he can say, well done, my good and faithful servant. But and so we have this question that, will I have to stand before the judgment seat in heaven? And the answer is yes. All people, all those created in the image of God will be judged by God. But I think as we look at this, there are two different judges. There's God's judgment seat for those who believe in Jesus. And then there's the great white throne judgment for those who have rejected Jesus. So we need to differentiate between these, because there's a huge chasm between these. The great white throne judgment, as described in Revelation 20, will be for all those who chose to reject Jesus as their Savior. And this judgment will occur after the millennium, toward way the end of time as scheduled as noted on this earth, and after Satan is thrown into the lake of fire. So for those of you who are into prophecy and into all of this, we will be judged at the very end of our time on this earth. And we see this in Revelation 20. I saw a great white throne and him who was seated on it. And from his presence on earth and the sky fled away, and no place was found for them. And I saw the dead, the great and the small, standing before the throne, and the books were open. And another book was opened, which is the book of life. And anyone whose name was not found written in it was thrown into the lake of fire. And this seems so harsh and so awful. And again, for us, we don't totally understand it, but we do know those who reject Jesus will be ever separated from Christ, ever separated from anything that is good. It's a place clearly for those who have had the opportunity to have a relationship with God, to believe, but had said no.
So that's the great white throne judgment. Now explain God's judgment seat, Nancy. What is this one for?
Yeah, and I don't think it should really be called judgment seat. It is, because of from where it came. But this idea is something that we as Christians should look forward to and not fear. It's when we as Christians stand before Christ and explain how we lived our lives, whether or not our work was acceptable before God. And this will happen after the rapture, shortly after the rapture, according to the scriptures. But this whole idea of appearing before the judgment seat of Christ so that each of us may receive what is due for the things done while in the body, whether good or bad. So we have this idea of Christ, hopefully with this judgment seat, instead of this condemnation for not believing, it's a celebration for believing. And it's this idea of God cheering us on. God is an encouragement. God is our friend. This whole idea of God standing before God essentially to do what he's called us to do, to love God and to love others as we serve others and we serve God. Now, the Greek word used for judgment seat is bema, which I think is fascinating. And the bema was a raised platform which judges sat to view athletic games. Their job was to ensure contestants follow the rules and then present awards to the victors. So that's what that bema seat is. It was never a place to reprimand athletes or to punish them in any way. It was a place of testing and reward, not condemnation. As with the bema seat for the athletes, God's judgment seat is something to look forward to experiencing. There'll be no condemnation because all the believer's sin has been forgiven. This judgment is a time to give an accounting of what we did through Christ, not our flesh, for his glory. And it is a beautiful thing when you think that God has recognized a heart who loves him, a heart who has sacrificed for him. And this is what this is absolutely all about. But when we look at the scripture, Romans 8, 1 through 8, listen to this. And this should be so encouraging to believers. Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Jesus Christ. For in Christ, the law of the spirit of life set you free from the law of sin and death. For the law was powerless to do what it was weakened by the flesh. God did it by sending his own son in the likeness of sinful man as an offering for sin. He thus condemned sin in the flesh so that the righteous standard of the law might be fulfilled in us who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the spirit. Those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the spirit set their minds on the things of the spirit. And this is the heart of what God is getting to right here. The mind of the flesh is death, but the mind of the spirit is life and peace, because the mind of the flesh is hostile to God. It does not submit to God's law, nor can it do so. Those controlled by the flesh cannot please God. So we see here is that the Lord Jesus Christ can judge our works from the bema seat. He will also reward us, there you go, or withhold rewards from us, doing things that we think are good and glorifying God without the leading of the Holy Spirit will not be acceptable to God, who's our judge. And therefore, we will not receive rewards for such works. Those things will be burned up by the fire. And I just think that when we look at this question and we're a little bit overwhelmed with this, we see that this whole idea is that God knows our heart. And when we look at what God has called us to do, and it's just an absolute amazing thing that God, through his spirit, will say to us, well done, my good and faithful servant, when we do things in the spirit, when we bless him in the spirit. But when we try to do it on our own, our flesh, there is no reward for that.
You know, I want to get to this point here because you mentioned earlier about rewards. So yeah. There is a reward system. How would you explain how those are determined then, Nancy?
Yeah, and it's like everything else. God is our judge. And our rewards are our crowns. And again, our definition of rewards might be an old trophy someplace. But, you know, with God, it's a whole different. It's in the heavenly spheres here. And our rewards or crowns will be given solely on how dependent we are on Christ. He knows our hearts, and he will judge us accordingly. He also gives us many examples in the scriptures of things worthy of reward. And this is the thing, we just need to get away from this, I'm going to perform for God rather than through the leading of his spirit, this is what God allowed me to do. Mm. There's just a huge difference. And some of these things that are worthy of rewards, God makes very clear in the New Testament. Look at 2 Timothy 2:3-5. Join with me in suffering like a good soldier of Christ Jesus. No one serving as a soldier gets entangled in civilian affairs, but rather tries to please his commanding officer. Similarly, anyone who competes as an athlete does not receive the victor's crown except by competing according to the rules. So what Timothy is saying in here is that how then are we living? Are we living to the glory of God in our suffering? Are we living according to what God has told us to do in the scriptures? And then we see another way that God is judging. James 1:2, blessed is a man who remains steadfast under trial, or when he has stood the test, he will receive the crown of life, which God has promised to those who love him. So we're called to love God and stay firm under trial. And this is kind of what we're talking about with what's going on in Israel today. Stay calm and stay focused on Christ, and he will lead us through this. And Revelation 2:10 speaks to this as well. Do not be afraid of what you are about to suffer. I tell you, the devil will put some of you in prison to test you. You will suffer persecution for 10 days, but be faithful, even to the point of death, and I will give you life as your victor crown. So this whole idea of eternal life, those things God is giving us for being faithful to him are quite different than the world standards of what makes us happy. And even in Revelation 4, John writes about the 24 elders who received their crowns in heaven. And did they take them and put them in their trophy case? No, they did not. When they got their crowns, all the elders fell down before him who was seated on the throne and worshiped him who lives forever and ever. They cast their crowns before the throne, saying, worthy are you, O Lord our God, to receive glory and honor and power. For you created all things, and by your will they existed and were created. And this is the thing, the rewards in heaven that we receive for the work that Christ did through us that glorify God, allow us to experience what our sinful natures were incapable of experiencing. This is what we have to look forward. You know, Jesus's gift of the Holy Spirit will forever enable us to experience love and joy and peace. These things that we know a little bit about, that we have periods of time in our life today where we experience the love and joy, and then something happens and it kind of disrupts that. But when we are in heaven and God is there and he blesses us and he gives us rewards for being faithful to him, I don't know, but I just think scripture is leaning toward this idea that for the first time ever, we will experience true love. And joy that is unending, and peace that passes all human understanding, in the patience and kindness, in the goodness that we have no clue at this point in our lives what that really means, in our faithfulness to God and goodness, his goodness, not our own, and self-control. These are the things that God will reward us with, I believe. This wonderful idea that we will be in perfect harmony with God. We will be like him, not God, but like him, because his Spirit, his Holy Spirit, when it is unleashed in us to experience without our sin nature, we are going to experience existence in ways we never dreamed. And I think just to close this out with Psalm 16, 9 through 11, therefore my heart is glad, my whole being rejoices. My flesh also dwells secure, for you will not abandon my soul to Sheol or hell, or let your Holy One see corruption. You make known to me the path of life. In your presence there is a fullness of joy, and at your right hand there are pleasures evermore. That is the crown. That is our reward, to be in that state with God forever and ever and ever. And when we see that that is, you know, God's judgment seat, not the white throne judgment, but God's judgment seat is a one of celebration, one that we can look forward to. And we fear not as Christians what's going on in this world today. God is in control, but we look forward to the future of being able to stand before God, and maybe hopefully through the Spirit of God working in us, we will hear those words, "Well done, my good and faithful servant." And that is worth fighting for, even in these days that fill us with some angst and some fear. We can trust God is well in control, and we have nothing to fear.
I like to hear that, nothing to fear. That's almost hard to imagine in days like these, but that is truth. That is truth. This is a good question today, Nancy. Thanks for putting this together. And man, if all of you would like to get your, or any of you would like to get your hands on this audio again and hear it again, you'll be able to do that. Just give us a little bit of time this morning. We'll be posting this through our resources tab at kellyandsteve.org. You'll find it online, kellyandsteve.org. And also at anchorsaway.org. Always we'll be shipping this over to Nancy, and you'll find a lot of the audio there as well, and some great resources on her website too to help you with biblical worldview.
There are some incredible things that are available to you, and I do want to encourage you, maybe if you are a small group pastor, or if you yourself are involved in a small group, well then you're going to want to take a look and find all the information there, because there is a ton of information. There's some great studies you want to get your hands on. So please do go to anchorsaway.org and find that right there.
You're listening to Mornings with Kelly and Steve on Moody Radio, from the Word to Life.